Peter, turn over there if you will, and we'll start there and look at some things that I believe we need to look at. The Bible has the answer to every need that we have, answer to every question that the world has, and it's got the peace and the joy is there in that book. And when an individual is able and willing to just let the book speak to their hearts, they'll have what God wants them to have. And that all the direction that a man needs is right there. All of the wisdom that God wants us to have is right there. All of the direction that is necessary to take you through life is right there in the Word of God. And it's important that a child of God resort to the book and let God speak to his heart. While you're there, let me quote a verse of Scripture to you in the book of James, 4th chapter and the 14th verse. James says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor, it appeareth, that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." I'd just like to ask the question this morning, what is your life? It's very easy for us sometimes to squirm around passages like that are so direct. And it's easy for us to shove them off into a pigeonhole somewhere and forget all about them. But we got to answer the question, what is your life? What is my life? What is our lives in the eyes of God? And I know that it's easy to say, well, I'm busy, Lord. I have to make a living, and I've got this problem, and I got that problem, and Lord, you don't know what I've got piled up on me. Now, let me draw your attention to something. You living every day and working with your hands and being faithful to do what God called you to do is exactly what God wants. God didn't want you to quit your job. God didn't want you to go off somewhere and become a hermit. God wants you to work. And if you think you're going to go through this life without any troubles, you're sadly mistaken also, because your whole life is going to be a composition of troubles. And these are a lot that demonstrate God's power in your life, no matter what the circumstances are, to bring glory to Himself. We say, well, why do you allow this, Lord? Lord's teaching. The Lord's teaching. And Peter made this statement. He said, if these things, 8th verse of 2 Peter 1, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off." That is, no vision, as Tom was talking about. "And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin." Now, we need to remember, whenever you get to the place you forget what you were when God found you, you're in trouble. "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail." Paul, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." Now, you notice in this chapter, and you go back and read it, you'll notice that there are two outstanding things in the chapter. Number one is knowledge. Living at this time, man, for some reason or another, just don't want to have his mind stimulated to where he becomes mentally exhausted. He'll play and wear himself out playing, but he don't want to have to think. You live at a time when people don't want to think. And the thing that he deals here is with knowledge that produces a sense of responsibility to God. And as a child of God, we have come to the place in our relationship with God that we are never, as an American Christian, exhausted mentally from our study and searching the Scripture. Now, I know some of you have been mentally exhausted. Sometimes the cares of this world might do that. Sometimes there may be other problems that just seem to pile up in your life And you're overwhelmed with that, and your thought processes are consumed with those cares and all of this. And as a result of it, you're mentally exhausted from that. But I'm talking about mental exhaustion from pursuing the will of God and searching the Scriptures and finding God's will for your life and doing God's will. We are lazy. I mentioned it in Sunday school. I'll mention it in our service here. Men are lazy in America. When it comes to using the mind, they're lazy. And I'll say that because I know from personal experience. Say, not me. Well, I think we all come from Adam. I think we all got enough of Jake in us to realize that we're all the same. And laziness is a problem that America has because of technology. And we get in trouble because of that. But James says, what is your life? If I've given you the word God is saying and I've given you all that you need in the word of God, you listening to me? All that you need is in the word of God. If I've given you all that you need in the word of God, then I've got the right to ask you a question, what is your life? Because the satisfaction for the life is found in the word of God. And the direction for the life is found in the word of God. And the understanding of the problems of the day is found in the word of God. The comfort and the hope of the Scriptures in the word of God. All of these things are available to every one of us as a saint of God. But many times we just back off from that and say, well, Lord, you don't know what I'm going through. God knows everything, and God knows every battle we have, and God's got the remedy. But we don't like to take that course. Notice in the book of Luke, 6th chapter, Luke 6, 46. The Lord said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now you notice that the question revolves around the Word of God. You do not the things which I say. We all know how to live. We all know what we are to do and what we are not to do. We all know how to walk. And the Lord says, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say. So the Word of God is that which God holds us responsible for in following and doing His will. Turn to the book of Romans in the 13th chapter. Romans 13. Passage that we quote a lot, and I believe every preacher does, which deals with the times in which you and I live. And the Apostle Paul is dealing with some of the problems that we face, and the major problem that we face, of course, is us. He said in the 11th verse of the 13th chapter of the book of Romans, he said, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. To awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. How true. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Now notice something about that. Darkness will keep you busy. The world will keep you busy. And it's always got a program for you to follow. There's plenty out there in this world, the works of darkness that will keep you busy and keep you occupied. And that's what he's talking about. The works of darkness, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light and let us walk honestly as in the day and not in rioting and drunkenness and not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So the Lord is dealing with our walk. He's dealing with our time. And all of us have the same amount of time. You say, well, I don't have any time to serve the Lord. I got to work. You're serving the Lord when you work. Amen. You say, I don't have any time to serve the Lord because I got to visit the hospital and meet with this person and that. You're serving the Lord when you're doing that. Amen. And you know, it's being faithful in all of these things that God called us to do that most people back off from, and they want to absolve themselves from the responsibility of everything that is necessary for us to bring glory to God and develop a scheme of their own and do their own thing and draw attention to themselves. That is not of God. The book has got all of it laid out so that you and I know how to walk. Turn to the book of Romans in the 4th chapter. Romans 4. So we need to wake up. Then he said in that 4th chapter, and reminding us now, we're going back and we're doing a little thinking about where we are. He said down in the 4th verse, "Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace but of debt." 5th verse, Romans 4, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." That's one of the great truths of the Word of God. And one of the truths that a child of God rejoices in from the time he gets saved till he goes to the grave. And that is, his faith is counted for righteousness. God said, you believe me, now I'll give you my righteousness. Man said, "Well, Lord, I got pretty good righteousness of my own." God said, "No, you don't have any." He said, "All you've got is what you put on and what you wrapped yourself up with. Let me put something on you that gives me the glory." And that's what he's talking about. And he said, here it's counted for righteousness, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. This is important. You say, "Well, I've lived a good life, and I do this, and I do that." God said, he gives his without works. You don't earn it. Well, that's good. And notice that he uses blessedness. And then notice the next verse, 7th verse. "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered." Are you blessed this morning? Your sins have been just wiped out completely, covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are blessed. You're a blessed man. Or woman, or boy, or girl, and praise God for that. So you're blessed. Now notice too, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." You say, how in the world does a man get by with that? What you're saying is that God don't hold that man accountable for his sins. Why doesn't he? Because somebody's already died for those sins. Someone's already paid off that sin debt. And so God does not impute sin. God does not hold that individual accountable because he laid it on Christ. He's accepted him and God gave him his righteousness. All right, now notice the word blessed and blessed. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Have you forgotten that? You know, when you start out there and you look at the Word of God and you begin to realize all of this is of God and here I am a blessed person. And somebody said, "Well, I don't know whether you're blessed or not. Look at the trouble you got." Trouble don't remove the blessings of God. Amen. Trouble does not cancel out the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the understanding of God in your life. The trouble that you might get into in this world, don't stop it at all. It gives God an advantage to show you what he can do. And we back off. We say, "Well, I don't know, Lord. I don't think you love me anymore. Because you don't know what I'm going through and you don't act like you care." I'm always reminded the Lord said to be absent from the flesh and be present with the Lord. And old Job said, "Yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Have we ever reached that? That's the area that we need to reach, and that's the area that brings blessing, is resigning to the will of God and say, "Lord, no matter what happens, I'll praise you. I'm going to be with you." That's a blessed man. In the book of Ephesians, you'll notice in the first chapter that the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Somebody said, "Why don't you sit down and rest a while?" "I'm sitting." "Say, you're not sitting. What are you talking about? You're standing." "No, I'm sitting." And he said, "Well, now, wait a minute. Let's go to the book. You show me that in the book. I just read it to you." He said further over there in the book of same book, and down in the 7th verse of the 2nd chapter, he said, "And hath raised us up together," or 6th verse, "raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." When you got saved by the grace of God, you are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and God's word said that is a blessing, and you're a blessed man if that is your lot. Well, you know, we forget that. Man goes through this life, he's got troubles, he's got battles, and these are normal. And God said, "What do you expect?" He said, "You're in enemy territory. You're in a world that Satan is a god of this world. He's the administrator of the governance of the world. And he's in control of everything except my church. He's in control of all of it. And you think that you're in trouble? He said, just hang around a while. Things are going to get worse. But you're in Christ. And if you're seated together in Christ, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, don't you worry about what happened to this world. I like what Rex Harrison used to say. Every time his wife would get lusting after a beautiful home, he'd say it's going to burn. Well, that's one way of excusing yourself from having to get it for her, but he told the truth. It's going to burn. Burn, burn, burn. You say, well, America? Yes, America's no different than anywhere else. It's going to burn. It's going to burn, going to burn. And it's the people that God is concerned with. But the thing is that as a child of God, we get our eyes off heaven, off the place where we're seated, off the responsibility we have as an ambassador. We're not a part of this world. We are strangers and pilgrims in this world. And we represent a heavenly place. And we're to get men and women down here in tune with heaven and let them know that Christ died for them. That's our job. Not to reform this stinking, ungodly, filthy, immoral world that we live in. You will never get it straightened out. Men have been trying it ever since Martin Luther. Trying to straighten the world out. You'll never get it done. It's going to hell. And God reveals here, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Turn over to James 1. James 1. Man said, well, I'd sure like to be blessed. There it is. James 1:22. The Lord said, but be ye doers of the word. See, the word's what God wants you to do. The word's what God wants you to believe. The word's what has the answers. He said, be doers of it. See, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. God said, do the word. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man that he was. He's ugly as I am, you don't forget it. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And you'll notice that he uses the word four times here in a row, right down through several verses here. And he's talking about that place of the word in your life and mine. And then he brings us face to face with the word. And he said, take a good look at what the word says that you should be doing and the life that you should be living and what it provides for you. He said, take a good look. And then start doing it. And he said, you'll be blessed. There's that word again. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, don't get it backwards, folks. There are a lot of people that say, well, Lord, I haven't done this and I haven't done that and I haven't done this other thing. You ought to bless me. That doesn't bring the blessings of God, what we don't do. There are a lot of people that live lives and talk about all the things they don't do. I've never sailed a ship. I've never landed on the moon. Am I going to walk around and talk about that all the time? I've got a thing in the world to do with the work of God. You say, what do you do? Do the word. Do the word. Do what God tells you to do. God will bless you. And God said, this man is blessed. Blessed, blessed. Thank God for that. So you say, well, I wish I had the blessings of God. Do the work. Do the word. All right, notice Revelation 1:3. Revelation 1:3. Man said, I don't know, my life just seemed to be drying up. And give you my personal testimony, when I fail to read the Word of God, when I fail to search the Scripture, everything dries up. Everything. And you realize that the Word of God's got all the answers. The Word of God's got all the blessings for me. And I've got to get into the Word of God and find out what God says. And if I don't delight in anything else in existence, I must delight in that Word. And God said down here in that third verse, he said, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Blessed. Man said, well, I remember a woman told me one time that I never read the book of Revelation. It scares me every time I read it. Every time I hear anything about it, it scares me. Scared her right out of church. God's Word said it'll bless you. Man, that's what you want. Say, how am I going to get it? Read the Word. Now, He didn't say, just save people, be blessed for reading the Word of God. He didn't say that. But He did say right here, blessed is he that readeth. So I don't care who you are, if you'll read it, God will bless you. So I just don't believe that. That's the reason you don't get a blessing. All right, he said further, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein for the time of their end. God said, you want a blessing? Listen to it, read it, and keep it. And God meant it. Man said, well, I want to get it some other way. That involves too much time. Turn to Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Blessings. Man said, well, I want the blessing, but I don't want to have to go through all that. You're not going to get them. You gotta do what God says. He said in the 13th verse, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Down there in Tennessee, what a blessing it was to be in that funeral. I thank God over and over that He made it possible for me to be there and meet the people that I met and be able to witness to them and talk to them about the Lord. That's a blessing. And God's Word said concerning the dead, and this is a different time period, but it's applicable today. He said, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Man said, "What, Lord, you're working me to death." No, he's not going to work you to death. He's going to work you to rest. And you say, well, I got a big load on me. Keep working. God will take you home one of these days and all that load will be off of you. You say, well, I'd like to get a little time of relaxation. I've met a number of older people that think that when they get older, they're supposed to retire. I don't know where they got this. Must have got it from America. Because this nation, that's about the dominating theory and philosophy that I got to retire and do my thing. And a 70-some-year-old woman said, well, I've taught school all of my life, and I've been faithful, and I've done this, and I've done that, and now I've got cancer, and I'm going to die, and it just doesn't seem fair that I don't get a chance to travel and enjoy myself. Well, you should enjoy yourself while you're teaching and while you're doing living for God throughout your life. That's not a burden to live for God. That's a joy. And that's the thing that is missing in so many people. They want to retire from God. You can't do it. You can't do it. He said here, they'll rest from their labors and their works do follow them. And that same thing is true of Brother down in Tennessee and each and every one that has gone on to be with the Lord, their works do follow. They're following. So, thank God for that. Notice the 16th chapter of the same book, Revelation, and the 15th verse. Another terrible challenge coming from the Lord. He said, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. You know, that has a tremendous amount of truth in it. And I mean, it has an impact, because when God said here, you notice that he's talking about blessing again and blessed people. And he said, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. You know, if you're not careful, you'll look just like the world. Did you notice how close to the world that the average Christian lives today? Do you notice that in their clothing, in their talk, in their entertainment, in their recreation, in any part of their life, they're so close to the world that it's very difficult to distinguish them from the world. And you know what the Lord said? Blessed is he that watcheth. Are you watching? Well, why do you watch? Well, the Lord said here, he said, then keepeth his garments. I want to make sure that the world knows I'm a child of God, not a child of the devil, not tied in with a stinking world. The world is corrupt. And the world is wicked. The world is ungodly. The world is sending people to hell first class with a robe of religion around them. I don't want the world to think that I have anything at all to do with it. And I don't want the people in this world ever to be confused about my position as an antagonist to everything that the world stands for. Everything. There's not one good thing in this world that the world provides that is not deceptive. Now notice in John, 1 John 2, he said, love not the world. Love not the world. We're to love the soul, not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now you'll notice something here. All that is in the world. And then he identifies the things of the world by saying the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, it'll burn. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Follow the world, you know where you're going. You're going down. I notice Revelation 19. I like this. Ninth verse, he said unto me, write. So write it down, John. I want this written. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then said, I've never traveled. I've never gone anywhere in this world. Now I want to tell you something. You go to this marriage supper of the Lamb, what do you expect? You got the best. God said, you're blessed. You say, well, it hasn't happened yet. I'd like for it to happen now. It'll happen at God's schedule. It's His marriage supper, not yours or mine. And we've been invited, and we're going to be there. You say, well, I missed so much, though. You haven't missed a thing. So suppose you were to drop dead right now, you wouldn't miss a thing. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to be with Him, and you'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And brother, that's a blessed position. We forget it. We forget that all of the things, the best is yet to be. On the tombstone, where Brother Emmett was laid away, his body, the carcass, the shell, where it was lowered down into a hole, on a stone there, had written, the best is yet to come. I like that. And I told the folks there, I said, we've gone as far as we can go with what's left of Emmett. And I said, now God has got to prove Himself to go further. This is up to Him. This is all the farther that you and I can go with anyone is to that cemetery and stop. But that's where God takes over, and that's where God proves His word, and that's where God vindicates everything that He said and proves that He means what He said. He'll raise that old body from the dead. And you just stop and think, 1,007 years between those resurrections, the body of the saved man gets caught up and joined together with that spirit and soul and with the Lord. And then you look at that lost man, that old body stays in that grave till God's done with the earth. And that soul stays in hell till God's done with the earth. And then God raises that body, unites that man's spirit and soul with that body. He stands at the great white throne judgment, receives the extent of his damnation, and is cast into the lake of fire. 1,007 years separation, and as soon as that's over, God burns this place up, creates a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. You know, he said here, You get to looking at this. Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You look in a mirror of the Word of God once in a while, and you sit down and see what you are when God finds you, and what you are when God introduces Himself to you, and what you are after He saves you, and you realize that it's all of grace, so you didn't deserve a thing that God has done, and God's got to get the glory out of it, and you say, well, I've been blessed. Yes, you've been blessed, and it's just starting. The unfinished work of Christ is yet to be displayed. And brother, we all accept it by faith. It's going to happen. Notice the 6th verse of the 20th chapter. The Lord said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now God said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Now that's the saints of God that are saved by the grace of God. And you have part in that first resurrection. You're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. What a day that's going to be. And what a blessing it is to know. And he said, blessed. He said, well, Lord, I just don't have much today. The Lord said, you're blessed. You're going to be caught up in the first resurrection. You've been blessed. Blessed, 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 all the way through that Bible, and we forget it. And we walk around and complain about the things that we face and the trouble we have and the trials and things like that. Notice in Titus 2:13. Titus 2:13. The Apostle Paul said here, he said, looking for that blessed hope, the coming of the Lord, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. There is a blessed hope that a child of God has right out in front of him. It could be at any moment, all of a sudden we're gone. We're going to experience that being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Say, Lord, I haven't been blessed though. You don't know the trials I got. Look at all the stuff that God just keeps piling up on us. And he said, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed. Look at another thing. Hebrews 12:5. Make you do some thinking. Sometimes we read all these things and it just becomes just so much more knowledge. But the Lord said, here, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. You'll note here that a child of God, in view of everything that God has for him, he's to keep his eyes on Christ, as he tells you in the first few verses, and then to consider him, and then remember that God's going to allow you to go through trials and tribulations in this life, and don't forget it. You've been blessed. You've been blessed because the best is yet to be. Notice in Galatians 4:15, and I reckon this is a disturbing passage because many times when you get to looking at these passages, you become aware that maybe we live at a time when this is being experienced by too many people. He said in that 15th verse, where is then that blessedness or the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them unto me. Now this is a challenge. Now the reason that I feel that it's a challenge is because all of the things that we read about, all of the blessings that are ours, we forget all of those. And then Paul asked the Galatians who were wrapped up in themselves and all the time talking about their works and trying to get to heaven by what they're doing. Paul said, where is that blessedness or the blessedness ye spake of? There was a time in their lives when they were praising God for the blessings that were theirs. You remember when you first got saved? I'll tell you what, folks, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. At that moment, you're closer to God probably than you'll ever be for the rest of your life, because at that moment, everything is erased, everything is wiped out. You have the Holy Spirit that comes in, and at that moment, you are perfect. And let me remind you something else. You'll remain perfect for the rest of your life. It'll be the perfection that God has provided, but at that time, it is a great moment in your life because you're experiencing a birth. Can you imagine a little child comes into this world, what goes on in that mind, if there's any mind there to go for it to go on in? I mean, they're coming into the world, all of a sudden they look up, there's Mom! She's the one that kept eating like that and making me burp all the time. She's the one that did this and that. But you get saved by the grace of God, brother. I'm going to tell you, you get saved by the grace of God. You look up into the Heavenly Father's face and you say, Abba, Father. Right then, you know, you're a child of His. There is a response that is immediate to God. I'm His. I'm His. I belong to Him. But sometimes this blessedness that we praise God about early in our Christian life, all of a sudden dissolves, and then there's a bunch of murmuring and complaining, and then there's a bunch of griping and groaning and all of these other things that seem to characterize Christianity today. If everything just doesn't run perfect, We think God has defaulted on His promises. He's just the same as He's always been. His people suffer today as they always have. And His people have a hope today as they always have. And that hope will be realized. And that hope will be realized probably faster than we think. It could be today. So we've got the blessings of God. Let me give you one other verse of Scripture in closing. Hebrews 8. We've got the blessings of God today, but I'm afraid that we're so ignorant that we don't see them many times. You got everything God wants you to have, but maybe we don't use it. You got all you need to know in the Word of God. You got all the leadership you need in the Holy Spirit. We still end up with trouble, though. Notice in the 8th verse of the 8th chapter, or the 9th verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews. You'll notice that God is speaking concerning folks that had a problem with them. He said, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. You know, God, we read a moment ago in 2 Peter 1, God started a work. God started doing something in every one of our lives. When God saved you and God saved me, the trip begun. And it's a journey. And we've got to, must acknowledge, as Abraham did, that we're strangers and pilgrims in this earth. We don't belong here. And we've got a home that is better than this. And we got an inheritance incorruptible. And we're going to that. And as we're traveling through here, we want to win souls to Him. We want to live a separated life. And we want God to get the glory for everything that is done. And sometimes we forget what was involved in that start. And I'll tell you what, God never starts anything that He doesn't finish. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And God wants you and I to know that. So our responsibility is to get into that book and find out what God wants for my life as an individual, and let God do what He wants with me, or what He wants with you, and say, Lord, here am I. Have you forgotten some of these promises? Have you forgotten the blessedness of you being a child of God and the promises that God has given? Sometimes we do that. Man, we get up and we get sour on the world. Last couple of days, I didn't feel good, and I noticed that with physical feelings, there's always a spiritual response. Boy, you got to watch that. When the body is not just exactly in tune, all of a sudden, you say, well, I must be out of fellowship with God. Who said that? That's the way the flesh works. Flesh just tears you down, and if you're not careful, it'll hold you down. You don't want to do that. You go to this book. That's where your strength is. That's where your light is. That's where the power is. That's where everything is. And thus saith the Lord. Power is of the Lord. Of the Lord. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a verse of some hymn this morning, and I don't know about you, but I know that many times I sit in my study and I read the Word of God, and I think about the Word of God, and God keeps reminding me of things that I had forgotten. And folks, if you've forgotten something, you need to just get it back up and review it. Maybe you need to talk to Him about it today. I don't know. But if you need to talk to Him about it, if you've forgotten something, you've not given Him the praise for what He has done, you've not yielded to the light that He has afforded, you need to do it. Say, Lord, here am I. And I just want to be obedient. As we sing, let God do what He wants to do. What will the number be? 283. As we sing, let God have His way in your heart. If you don't know Him today, you need to trust Him. Amen. Thank you. There's more truth to that verse than sometimes we like to give it credit for. When you stop and think of how close you are to the coming of the Lord to take home His saints, I suppose that if we knew the moment, we'd all be on our faces today saying, Lord, I have been blessed, but I haven't returned thanks. I haven't praised You. I haven't given up and let You get the glory. Boy, get it adjusted before that shout comes. Get it lined up and get your life in the hands of God so that God can use you. Don't wait till the last minute. It could be too late. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have been blessed. Seems like, Lord, all through the book, everywhere we look, we've been blessed. The very fact You've let us live to this moment, let us live to the day that we reached out by faith and accepted Jesus as our Savior and substitute. Lord, I thank You for that blessing. Thank You for the hope of glory. I thank You, Father, for that day when we will go to that marriage feast. And Father, I thank You for the day when we will respond to that shout, to that call. I thank You, Lord, for that moment when the Holy Spirit come in and dwelt, brought about a spiritual birth and gave us life. Lord, You've been so good. But Father, we forget sometimes, and we forget just what our response is supposed to be. And Lord, we've got to tell You, we love You because of what You've done. We fail to do that many times. We love You because You first loved us, and we can't understand that, but we love You. And Lord, we want to express that love in obedience and keeping Your commandments. We need Your wisdom, Your strength, Your power, Your light, Your guidance, so that You get the glory out of our lives. Ask You to cleanse us. Ask You to be with those unable to be with us. Glorify Yourself in every circumstance in life. And we give You the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.